So for those of you following the news this week, anyone following the news that was making most of the headlines this week, it wasn't South African news, it was two tragedies happened this week, exactly a week ago on Sunday last week. 157 people lost their lives in a tragic air crash in Ethiopia. Plane took off just outside, or took off at Addis Ababa Airport, and 3 minutes later they lost signal and the plane was doing very weird things and it basically came crashing down, and 157 people lost their lives, so much so that they can't even find body parts or remains. The most that they found is an arm at this stage. Can't even identify for family members and all of that. But it was tragic to read about it, and obviously Boeing, they've grounded like all the Boeing 737-8 MAX planes that are flying around, or that were in use at the time, because obviously there's some kind of a control issue, a control problem. But it was terrible to read about that, and then comes Friday, and my Google News is popping up the whole time, and all I'm reading about is this terrible shooting that happened in Christchurch, where 49 people were shot dead in a mosque, in two mosques actually in Christchurch, and another close to 50 people were injured, including two small under 5 kids. And then you wonder, when you read these stories, and you wonder the incredible fear that must have happened when this guy just let loose. And apparently he's put the video on Facebook or on social media of how he's driving to this place and he's going to get ready to kill people. And then you read about these tragedies, and then you just contemplate a little bit on life, and you a little bit out of your comfort zone, you know, and you realize, sure, death is such a reality in this life. And you never know when your end is going to be, when maybe it will be time for you to face it. But as a believer, I trust that all of us won't be afraid of death. But I can just imagine in that mosque specifically, it's prayer time. It's Friday afternoon between 1 and 2. It's supposed to be a most holy, a most reverent, a most time of prayer. And here comes the devil, the evil one himself, manifested in a person, and just destroys life, because that's who he is. He takes life. He loves to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so with that in mind, and I don't want to be doom and gloom this morning, but I just want to encourage us this morning. The sermon this morning is an encouraging sermon. And so I thought, the Lord took me to Psalm 23 again, and I thought I'll just go through Psalm 23 this morning as a reminder for all of us that we have a great shepherd. Amen. Sometimes we need a reminder, and I think some of us, I get the sense that maybe some of you are feeling a bit tired, and thanks for that testimony, it's so powerful, of how your year started, and you had sort of a lot of plans, and now it comes to March, end of March, almost middle of March, and it's the end of the first term, and maybe you're a little bit tired this morning, maybe you need some encouragement. And so this morning, I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you this morning, knowing that you have a great shepherd who's leading you through this life. And maybe this morning you don't know him, then I want to paint a little bit of a picture of who this great shepherd is. That maybe this morning it's time to get to know him as your personal shepherd, not just to know about him, amen, but to really know him as your personal shepherd this morning, to really know him as the one who's leading your life and who cares for you. You see, we're all like sheep. The Bible actually says in many various verses that we're actually like sheep. One verse specifically said that we're like sheep going astray, amen. I come from a sheep farm, and our sheep are fairly peaceful animals. Sheep aren't like a buck. You know, a buck is a highly strung thing, right? If you've seen a buck, a springbuck or a blessed buck, any type of buck, you get close to them and they seem to be tense the whole time. So they're jumping around and they're sprinting and they're running away. A sheep doesn't sort of get like that. A sheep is kind of a wandering animal. A sheep looks down and feeds and doesn't seem to have much care about life, and sort of the head is down and it just wonders where the next piece of green grass is. And many times we as people are like that. We sort of wanderers, you know, we don't go astray suddenly necessarily. Some people do, I guess, but we kind of wander off the path. And we seem to go where there's more food and where there's more water. And if a sheep doesn't have a boundary or a fence around it, it's going to get lost in the next farmer's camps, right? Or in the mountains somewhere. And many times as people, we like these sheep. If we don't have boundaries, if we don't have clear direction and guidance in our lives, you can be the greatest leader of this life and have the natural gift of leadership in leading yourself and leading others. But we're all like sheep going astray. Amen. And we all need guidance. We need a great shepherd to lead us, because we're exactly like sheep. We wander off, and it doesn't happen suddenly. We sort of wander off quite casually sometimes. And we find ourselves lost in life and lost in the tragedy and the evil and the terrible happenings in life. See, sheep need to be led. Sheep need to be given clear direction. And my brother is the farmer on our farm at the moment. And if you don't have guys gathering those sheep, if you don't mark them, if you don't dose them, if you don't look after them properly, then they'll go, they won't produce wool. They won't produce meat like you want them to produce. So they need to be led. They need to be guided. And just like all of us, we need guidance. We need boundaries. We need wisdom. But we need it outside of ourselves. Amen. We cannot get the wisdom and get the guidance inside of ourselves. No humans have the ultimate guidance in ourselves. We need the Creator of life to be our shepherd this morning. Amen. And so this morning, I just want to go through various verses here, all of these six verses in Psalm 23, and it's so powerful when you exegete them and you look into the depths of what David is writing. David had an incredible understanding of this amazing shepherd that he knew as his guide. And I don't know about you this morning. Do you know the shepherd as your guide this morning? Do you know him in his fullness? Because can you write something like this? David must have had an incredible revelation of who this great shepherd was, the God of the universe who's come to be his guide. So he writes the following. He writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I'm going to read the whole psalm and then just go through a few things this morning. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness, even for his name's sake." And then he goes on, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I know we're not at a funeral this morning, and many pastors use this at a funeral. So it's not supposed to be a funeral this morning, it's supposed to be a joyous process, but it's such a powerful psalm, it's such a powerful reminder of who God is in our lives. And so the first thing I want to say this morning is that David starts and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Imagine having that statement written on your bed every night, on your cupboard, on your mirror. "The Lord is my shepherd." I believe that is all we need. We don't even need to go through the rest of the psalm. If you have that statement as written on your heart, as part of your life, you're okay. Amen. And it's such a statement of assurance. It's such a statement of completion. He says, "The Lord is." He's absolutely clear that there's no one else who is my shepherd. The Lord himself is not only the shepherd, he's my shepherd. It's a convincing statement. And David obviously understood being a shepherd himself. David could identify with what it's like to be a shepherd, because David was practically, physically a shepherd to sheep, to real sheep. So he knew what it took to be a shepherd. So he saw God as his shepherd. He had this revelation. And I believe God wants us to have a revelation, not only that he is king, not only that he is father, not only that he is awesome and all those other things, but one of the aspects of who God is that he is our shepherd. Amen. And so he's not only our shepherd, because God is so many more things, but he is our shepherd. And so don't think that is all God is. God is not only your shepherd. He's King of Kings, He's Lord of Lords, He's the Father, He's the amazing God, He's the Creator, He's omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful, He's all those things, but He's also specifically our shepherd. And David wants you this morning to read His Word and to know that God is your shepherd as well. Not only is David shepherd, but He's your shepherd. And so the first thing I see out of this is that God is the perfect shepherd. There's perfection here, there's completeness, there is fullness. David understood that the psalm, and that's why he starts the psalm with the Lord, and guess what? He ends the psalm with the Lord forever. And does your life start with the Lord, and does your life end with the Lord? Is your life going to end with the Lord or not? Because it's not guaranteed that all of our lives are going to end with the Lord. It's not a done deal. You have to pursue the Lord, and you've got to write like David and be convinced that your life starts with the Lord and it ends with the Lord. And so he starts with the Lord. And then he says, because of this amazing statement, because the Lord is my shepherd, guess what? I come to this conclusion that I lack nothing. Tell someone next to you, I lack nothing. If the Lord is your shepherd, do you have any other wants? Maybe you do have some wants this morning. Maybe you do have some desires. And I want to say to you this morning, if you have desires and they're not met yet, guess what? They're not good for you now. Amen. So Zane, it's not good for you now to get married, okay? I know you want to get married, but maybe it's not good for you right now. Zane is fortunate, he's got a girlfriend, okay? Some of you maybe don't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend yet, then I want to say it's not good right now. And I know you have that desire. I had a desire to have a girlfriend and a wife for many years, and I just didn't, and I only got married at 30 years old, okay? I had to wait long, and the harvest was plentiful in Stellenbosch, okay? There were many beautiful girls. But it wasn't time when I was 25. Praise the Lord. You see, when you say, I have not wanted, it doesn't mean that you've got no desires, because God's placed desires in our hearts. But the shepherd knows, he's the good shepherd, and he wants you to have what you need right now, and he knows what's good for you. Amen. John Piper says the following. He says, God's sheep never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for them. We as his sheep never lack anything that he knows and believes is good for us. Isn't that amazing? So stop desiring and saying, God, I want it now. I want it like next week. Don't put a deadline on God. Have faith, but be content in the fact that he's your perfect shepherd. He's complete. He's full. He's awesome. And you know, there's a definition for contentment that I heard from someone. It goes like this. The contentment is the art of wanting what you have. Have you ever heard that before? Contentment is the art of wanting what you have. In other words, what you have now, you're so content, you don't actually want anything else. You might have a few needs and you might have a few desires and a few wants, but you know what? You're so content that everything you want, you've actually got it. And I want you to think about your life right now. I want you to think, do you have that contentment? Do you have that art of just simply wanting what you already have? In other words, you don't actually have any other wants. You're so content, you're so fulfilled in God, because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. John Piper also said that. God wants you to be glorified by the fact that you are content with Him. And yes, we need to be discontent that the kingdom hasn't fully come yet. So we're always going to have this tension in ourselves that life isn't perfect. And life isn't going to be perfect ever until Jesus comes back. But He still wants us to be content, people. So stop running around stressing about stuff that you don't need right now, that is not good for you. So let's look at the shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then he starts to describe who this perfect shepherd is. First of all, he says, he makes me lie down. Where does he make you lie down? He makes us lie down in green pastures. He provides for us. He supplies what we need. And that's why David could say, I don't have any wants. I don't have any needs. I lack nothing. Because why? God is my shepherd and he makes me lie down. Because sometimes life gets tough and sometimes we're in a desert, but the Lord says, I want to take you to green pastures. I want to take you to a place of peace. He leads me beside the quiet waters, not the stagnant waters. In other words, it's not, you know, stagnant water is not great. It's trickling water. It's quiet. It's not a rushing river. It's a quiet trickling river where there's water, there's refreshment. And then he restores my soul. In other words, this is who God is. This is not what God does. I want you to see this morning that this shepherd doesn't do this. This is who he is. He's a shepherd of green pastures. He's a shepherd of quiet waters. He's a shepherd of restoration. He's a shepherd who leads us in paths of righteousness. A shepherd who leads us in paths of righteousness. And why does he do all of this? Not for our glory, not for our contentment, not for our goodness primarily, for his name's sake. Because he knows what an incredible witness you will be when you walk in this place. And who in this world wants this? The world wants this. The world wants green pastures. The world wants quiet waters. The world wants restoration. The world wants righteousness. People, even though they're so ungodly, in all of us we have a conscience and we want to do the right thing. We just don't know how. And it's such a testimony if we can walk in this beautiful relationship with a perfect, complete shepherd. He's the epitome of perfection. And he wants to lead us in this path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake, that he can be glorified. And God wants to be glorified in your life, but He's most glorified when we are content in Him, when we know this is who He is. It's not He has to do stuff for us. It's simply who He is. And when you have a relationship with a shepherd, you can know this absolute satisfaction in Him being your great shepherd, where you don't want anything, where you know who He is. Isn't that amazing? Don't you want to thank God this morning from your heart for being the perfect shepherd? For being the amazing shepherd that He is. And then David goes on and then he starts to get real with life. Because if those first three Psalms are a reality of life, I guess it's not a reality of life. That's why the storm doesn't just stop there. Because life happens and we see these tragedies happening, we see shootings happening, and we see the evil getting so bad that it's like you just can't take it, and you think, oh, how do I cope with this? How do I make sense of this? And I know the nation of New Zealand is so shocked now because they're not used to this type of murder and this type of thing, you know. And I guess in South Africa we kind of get casual because we just hear of murders all the time, but for them it's like such a shock. And people move to New Zealand to have all the peace and the calm and all the quiet waters, but the quiet waters are nowhere to be found on this earth in the natural. The quiet waters are to be found in the presence of the shepherd. Amen. And so the second thing that David starts to write here, now he starts to tell us as people that there is under no illusion that this world is perfect. This world is terrible, it's imperfect, it's fallen, it's sinful, and it's evil. And he says to the Lord, and now he starts to speak to the Lord. And it's amazing, you know, the first three verses, David is speaking about the Lord, and now he starts to pray. Now he's speaking to the Lord. It's easy sometimes to speak about God, but when you're in the tough times in life, you start to speak to God, exactly how we heard the testimony this morning. So David's now speaking directly to the Lord. He's in the second person. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And he starts to recognize that God is with him and that his rod and his staff are comforting him. And David knew that he needed to pass through this life in order to get to the next life. So unfortunately for us, life isn't easy. Life isn't perfect. There's stuff happens and life happens to us. But we know in order to get to heaven one day, in order to get to the perfect life, we have to pass through this life. And so David says, in life, all of you are going to go through, and I've understood, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, and maybe some of you are going through it. Sheep need to go through the valleys in order to get to better pastures. And so David starts to speak about God's protection. So the first thing he says is he's a great shepherd because he protects because of his presence. God is always with you in the toughest of times. In the valley of the shadow of death, he's taking you through it. And I'm not talking about sin. If you've sinned in your life and God is not like there, you know, excited about the sin you do. This is not talking about being sinful and going off the path. Then you need to come back and repent and get back. This is just the path of life for any righteous person. Any righteous person is going to have dark times. Sometimes it is because of sin, but not always. It's because, not because of your sin. It's because of the sin of the world, the imperfection of this world. And so you go through dark times, but guess what? God is with you. And God is ready to give you wisdom. And to give you, first of all, a sense of His presence. And so when you're going through tough times, I want to say this morning that He is there. Where you don't have answers. Where you don't have the outcome. You don't even know if you're going to get through this. But God promises that He's going to be with you. He says, though I walk through the valley. And sometimes the worst thing is not the death itself, but it's the shadow of death. It's the fear of death. I can imagine, I don't know how it must have been in that mosque when this guy started to shoot and you just see people falling. Like imagine that fear. Of you might be next. And then the shadow of death hanging over them and like just people running and screaming. I mean, there must have been so much fear. Just reading the articles, you just felt these people's pain. You felt the shock of it all. I mean, a cricket match was cancelled. A super rugby match was cancelled in another town because of what happened. That's how it affected the nation. The tragedy. And I think we need to pray for the people then. We need to pray that the church there can preach the gospel in this time. And not judge people. And not condemn, you know. And trust that guy gets saved. That he has an encounter with Jesus before he takes his own life. Before he goes really crazy. But imagine the fear, imagine the shadow of death hanging over a situation like that. And that's sometimes worse than, you know, you'd rather die because if you're saved, you're going to heaven. So, you know, let me die now. But that fear of death. And Jesus said, or God says as the great shepherd is that he's with us. He's with us in that shadow, in that valley. And David can with confidence say, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he knows, first of all, the presence of God. That's the first thing. He knows the presence of God. The second thing, he knows that he says he's got his rod and his staff. Now, I've put a picture up there of a rod and a staff. You know the difference between the shepherd's rod and the shepherd's staff? And I want you to remember this. I want you to know that God has got his rod and his staff to protect you and to comfort you. The shepherd's rod was used to actually, like, it had a very sharp, or like a few sharp things on the top of the knob of that rod. If you see it, it's a shortish thing. And the shepherd used to basically, you know, like make sure the enemy stays away. In anything that the enemy, any foxes or things that wanted to kill the lambs, he would throw that thing at the animals that want to kill the sheep. And in scripture, a rod refers to a couple of things. A rod refers to a disciplinary tool. In Proverbs, the rod is also used for discipline. It's not only used to keep the enemy away, but the rod is used for discipline. And so guess what? God's discipline is near to us. God's discipline is around us. So sometimes we're in the valley of the shadow of death because we have sinned. And we need to get back onto the path. And God's discipline is gentle. It's in love. Amen. But sometimes we don't want the discipline of God because we think, oh, God is just love, 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 and he forgives. No, he disciplines in love because he's like a good father. He knows where the boundaries need to be. And he keeps us back onto the path. And he uses the rod. The shepherd has a rod. The shepherd, the rod also refers to a measuring device or a plumb line in the book of Ezekiel. And isn't that amazing to know that there's comfort in fair and just discipline? There's comfort in accurate measures. God uses the rod to measure boundaries out for us. He knows what's good for us. Knows what we need. And he measures life out for us. And he has a plan for our lives. That is the shepherd that he is. And David understood that there was protection in that. Amen. There's protection in having a shepherd who's got a rod and he's got a staff. The staff in the Bible refers to a symbol of leadership. And also it was used to rescue the sheep. They used to put the hook around the sheep's neck to rescue it from being stuck in stuff and being in very difficult places. The shepherd would rescue the sheep using the hook, using the staff. A symbol of guidance, a symbol of leadership, a symbol that we have a great shepherd who's ultimately wanting us to be comforted and to be protected. Because that's what David said. He says, your rod and your staff are with me because they comfort me. There's comfort in discipline. Amen. And God wants us to be comfortable with his discipline in our lives. Sometimes he takes us through a desert experience and you're like, you wonder, can't I just get out of it? God just says, I've got the point of time. You're going to get out of this time, but just experience my presence. Experience my discipline. Not because you've done something wrong necessarily. It could be because you've done something wrong, just because he wants to refine you. He wants to have the best out of you. He wants to get the good fruit out of you. So sometimes we get squeezed, you know, like any fruit gets squeezed and you see what kind of fruit it is. Because what's in there will come out. So when you're squeezed, when you're disciplined by God and by circumstances, when you're disciplined sometimes in life, you're squeezed and what comes out needs to be good stuff. And if it's bad stuff, let all the bad stuff at least come out. Let God discipline you and squeeze you until good fruit starts to come out. The fruit of his presence and his Holy Spirit. So the second thing the shepherd does, not only is he's the perfect shepherd, but he's a protecting shepherd. Protects us with his rod and his staff, all for our comfort and all for our good. And then he writes and he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Isn't that amazing? David says here that this shepherd, he's like a host. He's not only a shepherd that says, okay, I'll take you to the food, you know, I'll take you to the green pastures there and I'll eat. This shepherd is a host and he prepares a banquet for us. When we've gone through that valley of the shadow of death, I don't know if you've experienced that in life when you've been through a tough time and you come out of it and you just experience a banquet. God has prepared for you just fruits, joy, peace, life comes out of you when you've been through the squeezing time. And you go through that valley of the shadow of death and fear leaves you, doubt leaves you, unbelief leaves you. You have such a strong faith in Jesus. And it's like he says, come and eat at this table. I've got a banqueting table before you. And guess what? It's not just a normal feast. It's in the presence of your enemies. Where you can laugh at your enemies. And sometimes even we ourselves are our own enemies. And he just brings the goodness out of us, his goodness, and the bad stuff. We can laugh at the bad in our lives. Laugh at the devil's plans. Laugh at all the demons. Because Jesus has overcome and he provides this feast for us. And so David knew the shepherd as the provider. What does he provide? He provides, first of all, a power to overcome. He says, I'm going to provide you a banqueting table in the presence of your enemies. You're going to overcome. You're going to be an overcomer. I've provided for you with my power. He's the shepherd who provides, first of all, power to overcome. And I believe God has called us. In Revelation, the Bible says, blessed are those who overcome, for they will inherit. We are called to be overcomers, guys. If you know the shepherd, he's going to give you power to overcome life and to overcome even your own stuff in your own life. Your own challenges and your own thoughts that sometimes run around and think and analyze stuff. He's going to help you to overcome and to get to that place of his green pastures and his quiet waters again. Because he's a provider. He doesn't leave us to our own devices. Secondly, he provides an anointing to do the work that he's called us to do. You anoint my head with oil. I believe it speaks about the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Spirit in our lives from our head to our toes. He anoints us with the fullness of life. Amen. Life in abundance, fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, everything we need to minister to other people. Everything we need to live an overcoming life. He anoints us. And he wants us to be filled with himself. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important. He wants us to be filled with his Spirit. And David was fully filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only was he anointed to be king, he was just anointed with the presence of God. His kingship happened to be an outflow of what he was called to do. And I believe God wants to anoint some people here again this morning with his presence, that it's not for you, whether you're a full-time pastor or full-time minister or a working person or this job you've got to do. It's not about the job you've got to do. He's anointing you with his fullness. Your function and your calling in life will be dependent upon how God has ordained you. But I want to say fivefold ministers are not the only ones that are anointed with the fullness of the Spirit. People like myself, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets that are in the office, they are not the only ones that are anointed with the fullness of the Spirit. God wants to anoint you with the fullness of His Spirit. And it's not just a charismatic experience. It's a real experience. And I don't know about you this morning. Maybe you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing again just to live life. Live the overcoming life. Live the Christian life. Amen. God wants that for you, and he's made provision. He says, I am the provider. I'm the shepherd provider. I've made provision for you to be an overcomer, to be filled with myself. And then he says, my cup runs over. That cup talks about an abundance of life. Who wants a half cup here in life? No one wants a half cup. People don't even want a full cup. You know what God wants for us? An overflowing cup. Amen. Tell someone next to you, an overflowing cup. And I believe why we don't reach people many times, why we aren't the full blessing we can be, is because our cups are sort of half full or quarter full or maybe like 90% full. So we've just got enough for ourselves. Sometimes we survive through life and we're like, our cups are full because it's just for us. And God says, I don't want you just to have a full cup. I want you to have an overflowing cup. Can I have an amen this morning? If you want an overflowing cup, the shepherd is here to give that to you. And this morning he wants to anoint you. He wants to fill you with overflowing, with abundance of life. Because you know, for me, you know, the best time of my life was when I started to serve other people. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was baptized. I was saved. I remember that. But I can tell you those were awesome experiences. But the most amazing experience for my life, and still is, one of the reasons I'm in ministry today, is that feeling of making a difference in someone else's life. That feeling of praying for someone. That feeling of sharing a word. That feeling of serving being an usher in God's house. Welcoming people in. That's why I know you guys that are serving, sometimes you feel tired, but I know you're also full. Because if you're doing it for God, if you're doing it not because you have to, but you're doing it with a joy, it's just the most fulfilling experience to serve in God's house. To serve the purposes of God. To go to work and say, Lord, I'm here as your representative. I'm not here as a leader or a manager. I'm here to represent you. I want to be a blessing. I want to fill this place with your presence by praying, by sharing words, by being joyful. Not letting circumstances get me down, but just being a place where God can use you, a channel, a vessel. And guys, it's a fight. The devil doesn't want us to. He wants us to be full just enough for ourselves. Because he's happy with that. Because he knows the power when we start to bless others. The power when we start to lay down our lives and serve other people. The most fulfilling experience is to be a cup that is overflowing, to have a cup that is overflowing. Because why? God's provision and His anointing go hand in hand. Amen. And many times we don't experience God's provision because God is saying, start to step out. Start to create space where I can flow through you. Where you allow the anointing that you've already given, the fact that you're saved, you have enough to testify. You have enough to tell someone the gospel if you're saved yourself. Really. If you don't fully understand the gospel, then you must ask yourself, are you saved? Did you just tick a box or did you have a revelation of what God came to do on the cross for you? But His provision and His anointing, I believe, go together. And if we're not experiencing anointing or His provision, we must ask ourselves, are we flowing? Are we vessels and cups that are overflowing? Because His enablement and His empowerment are part of His provision. And then lastly this morning, David ends the psalm, and Yari's now, he's not speaking to God. He's speaking about God. He ends again speaking about God, and he says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. That word, surely. Just say that word, surely. You're not going to say surely if you're not really sure, right? He must have been pretty sure of his salvation, the fact that he was going to end up in heaven and that God will never leave him. So David says, surely, surely, speaks of that assurance. He says, surely two things will follow me, your goodness, Lord, and your mercy. And that's what we need as people of God. We need His goodness. Amen. We need the goodness of God. Why? Because it leads us to repentance. It keeps us on our knees. It keeps us humble, saying we don't deserve this goodness. In fact, nothing in us is good, but Lord, come. You be my goodness. You pursue me, Lord, and I want to receive your goodness. I want to have your goodness following me, being part of me, not following at a distance, not like struggling to catch up to you. No, the goodness is going to follow you, but it's going to overtake you. It's going to overwhelm you. It's going to lead you to a place where you can be good to others, where you can give out God's goodness and not your own goodness, because none of us are good in ourselves. So God's goodness needs to follow him. David said, it's surely it's going to. I don't believe it. I don't hope it. I know it. It's sure. Your goodness is going to follow me. And then, Lord, your mercy. The Bible says God's mercy is on you. When? Every morning. Read the word of God. The mercies of God on you every single morning. That talks about God pursuing us every single day. Every moment of the day wants us to walk in His mercy. Another translation talks about His unfailing love. I want to say this morning, God's character is going to pursue you and me until the day we become like Him. Isn't that good news this morning? He wants us to become like Him. He wants us to be merciful. He wants us to be good. He wants us to be like Him. And it's going to pursue us all the days of our lives if we allow Him. And then David says, surely, Lord, all the days of my life I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's promise is not only that His mercy and His goodness is going to pursue us and He's going to make us like Him, but His promise is that we're going to be in heaven with Him forever. So we're going to become like Him. Secondly, we're going to be with Him forever one day when we're made perfect in the twinkling of an eye, a moment in history, where time will be done away with and we'll be in eternity. Heaven is forever. Eternity is forever. And I don't know about you this morning, but God's promises are sure. God's promises are yes and amen. God will not return on His promises. But I want to say this morning that God wants you to see Him as the great shepherd this morning. He wants you to have a revelation of how awesome He is and how amazing He is, and that He wants to pursue you. And in that pursuit of you, you just surrender. You say, Lord, I'm so in awe of you. Here's my life. Use me, Lord. So I want the band to come forward this morning as we close in prayer. And I really believe God has got an appointment for specific people this morning.